the most important issues of the day. This is the Rick Smith Show.
Back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, ricksmithshow.com. So voter suppression, voter theft, going to be high this election, just days away, going to be the key to the 2018 midterms. Look at Kansas, look at Georgia, which is what we're seeing right before our very eyes. And I got an email from Sunday who writes, Rick, in North Dakota, the courts allowed recently to uphold the decision not to allow rural Native Americans to vote due to lack of street addresses since P.O. boxes do not deliver to those areas. The post office doesn't deliver to those areas. Question, if the census records are accurate enough to be used to justify redistricting everywhere, why can't they be consulted for residential proof as well? So she says South Dakota only provides provisional ballots to Native Americans. If Dems are so concerned about people being kicked off the voter rolls, why do they not look into this situation? Just a thought. I'm sure they are looking into it. I'm sure there are legal teams working on this as we speak, because I know that was a big story and we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Front and center. Here to share some news on what's going on today, our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you, Rick. Can we do a public service announcement before we start?
Absolutely.
If you don't care.
Nope.
Steny Hoyer, the number two Democratic member of the House right now, right after Nancy Pelosi, in 2002, Steny Hoyer and I mandated across the United States provisional ballots. And the reason I mention that, because, you know, voter turnout is going to be the key in this election, and it's going to be the key as to who takes particularly the House and then some legislative races in states. But the reason I mention, and it's been controversial about provisional ballots, but we did mandate them, and I say that because there was a student in Steubenville, Ohio, where I'm from, and they were not going to let him vote, and he was smart enough at the time. Provisional mandates were new. And he said, I demand a provisional ballot. And they weren't going to do it, and he demanded it, and his vote counted. And the reason I mention that, if anybody is turned away for the poll for any reason, you don't have an address, I know you live in California, whatever you hear, demand a provisional ballot, and then you can circle back to see about it being counted or not. And so it's better to do that than to let them force you away from the poll.
Right. Now, a lot of people are angry about the provisional ballot because there are some claims that they don't get counted at all. They usually get thrown.
I understand.
They get thrown out, and because you know we have to have the results that night, Bob.
Steny Hoyer and I were berated for this, that we were going to be part of holding up elections in the United States. We continued on with this because the bottom line remains: if somebody wants to push this point that they want those provisionals counted, then they can be counted, and if they have to strengthen that in the law someday, then they ought to do that. But otherwise, you will have immediate disenfranchisement from the polls.
No, look.
That's what will happen.
No, look, this is the first issue that if the Democrats take back control of things like they did back in 2009, the first thing they should be looking at is this. Because, the fact that you have to go back and fight to see if your vote was counted is ludicrous. The fact that they could turn you away, or look at this cross-check stuff, which is just incredible to me, that, without your knowledge, they just throw you off the rolls. Hey, well, you didn't vote last time. It means you must not have wanted to be a voter, so off you go. And it's ridiculous.
Right. So I just wanted to mention that. Better to ask than
no,
not ask.
Demand, as you said. It's better.
Yes,
and,
demand.
And look, there's a bunch of legal teams out there. I know the ACLU always has legal groups that are willing to, on election day, make the good fight. And I'm sure we'll find a way to get that out as well. But here's the thing. This is what bothers me. And you hit on this a second ago. You're going to hold up elections. I'm okay with holding up elections as long as we get it right.
Correct. That's what exactly Steny Hoyer and I both said, and everybody that supported that bill.
know, as I've been saying from the beginning, these electronic voting machines, which are just horrible, they should have at least come with like an ATM receipt, and you put that into a box, and that's your official vote. The little machine can tabulate all it wants, and at the end of the night, it can go, hey, this is our winner for now, until we count the little pieces of paper. Anyway, just my little rant. I had to go there.
Sure.
So there you go. Let's move on. Evidently, Trump has I guess there's some buzz around who's going to replace Nikki Haley at the UN.
Well, unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be Heather Nauert. And
how crazy is she?
Well, she's been a department spokesperson for the United Nations, okay? I mean, for the State Department. And she's a favorite of Trump's. He likes to listen to her briefings and what she has to say. She, at one point in time, was not getting along, if I remember correctly, with Tillerson, did get along with Nikki Haley a little bit more. Here's the problem. She came from Fox News into this position with the State Department. Prior to that, she may have been with ABC News. And I thought maybe she would replace Sarah Huckabee Sanders, right?
Right.
But she has zero diplomatic political experience to be ambassador to the United Nations. Nikki Haley did. Nikki Haley was a governor.
Right.
Nikki Haley, as a governor, as you know, any governor still, if they're worth their salt, has exposure to international situations, et cetera. So anyway, she's just not qualified. And I'm curious if he appoints her because he likes what she says at the State Department. I'm curious to see what the Senate will do with it. I mean, it would be a person that would have zero experience. Now, I was not a fan of Tillerson by any stretch of imagination when they named him.
Right.
I must say, he did better than I thought he ever would. I have to admit that. But the guy did run an oil company. That's why I didn't like it at first. But, you know, international exposure, he knows what operates in countries he knew.
Sure. I mean, look, he even got the Russian, what is it, the Presidential Medal of Freedom or whatever it is
right.
They give out, the Friends Medal or whatever the Russians give
right.
out.
So he was, you know, Secretary of State, and Nikki Haley, again, didn't have his experience, but she had experience. So now you come to Heather Nauert. Looks like Trump may appoint her when the midterms end, and we'll just see what happens.
Fox News connection. It fits. I mean, look, that's all the experience you need.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you need. Jeez, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Let's move along to your more to the other favorite person, John Bolton.
Oh, yeah, I love to. Oh, yeah, you said that it's like you remember the Three Stooges where they say Niagara Falls,
yes,
and they start. Well, that's with me and Bolton. Yeah, that's the same thing, same effect.
Evidently, he's throwing out praise to the new Brazilian leader, huh?
Well, yes, National Security Advisor John Bolton. He did it today. He declared the right-wing firebrand Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil as the positive sign for Latin America. Now, he denounced Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua as the troika of tyranny. I think that's a Russian term, troika.
Yep.
And according to you know, this speech, he went on and on about this new president. Well, part of the problem, too, is that, you know, in don't get me wrong, we deal with a ton of people that are not very good and not very nice. I understand that.
Always have.
But to say that, you know, off the bat, that this is the struggle of good versus evil is what he's saying. Well, Bolsonaro has made numerous homophobic, sexist remarks. He speaks fondly of military rule. He's an ally in the fight to advance the rule of law and increase security and prosperity. That'll get some attention when Bolton says that. But the bottom line is there is a laundry list of things that this guy has said that just absolutely make your head turn. It's just, you know, he's out there.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Bolton likes him.
Yeah, I talked about it the other day. He's, you know, he's actually his group is actually trying to get students to rat on their teachers. Anyone says any bad things about me, you turn those indoctrination teachers in. And you can see that. You can see Trump grabbing on to that.
So Bolton likes him. Anyway, that was Bolton's deal today.
Yeah. Great. Again, you know, surprised? Not even a little bit, to be honest. So there you go. We love authoritarian leaders. Let's move on to the Googles. Evidently a big walkout today, huh?
Yes, this is really a great story. How far the impact will go, I don't know, but it was a global thing. The Google employees globally walked out of locations at an exact time today to stress that they don't like the sexual harassment payoffs where CEOs were found to have sexual harassment issues with employees, and they gave them exit money, and they didn't like it. And the CEO of Google actually encouraged this to happen. He thinks it's good. They have to change the dynamics, change the way that Google operates. And, of course, this was also, they mentioned solidarity for all other tech companies, too, in the areas of sexual harassment. So I think this puts Google on more of an alert when you have, you know, that many people around the globe saying, we don't want this to happen. We want it to change. So I thought it was something positive that occurred.
Yeah, and you add that to the fact that today you had Apple, Facebook, Google, Uber, and I guess, you know, some 56 companies send a letter to the Trump administration saying that they oppose the Trump administration's attack on transgender, you know, on transgender citizens and workers. And it was a fairly interesting letter. I mean, you know, what would they write? We oppose any administrative or legislative effort to ease erase transgender protections through reinterpretations of existing law and regulation. We also fundamentally oppose any policy or regulation that violates the privacy rights of those that identify as transgender, gender non-binary, and intersex. Don't know what that is, but you know, look, they're taking a stand.
Right.
I'm you got to wonder, will he listen?
No.
No.
But at least they take a stand. You know, all of this is
window dressing.
It's advocacy, but it's educational too, yeah, from their end. Now, his end, I don't know, but, you know, after all, there are executive orders, but there's also a Congress, and it can stand up for things it, you know, wants to believe in.
And finally, I got to get your thoughts on the big statement this afternoon by the president, who said that the troops that he's sending, which evidently could rise to as many as, I think he said 15,000. He's saying that those soldiers on the border with the assault weapons, with those military assault weapons, should treat people throwing rocks as if they have rifles.
Well, I mean, look, we have to have restraint at the border. First of all, 15,000 is not needed. That's more than we have in Afghanistan. It's simply not needed. Look, they won't even be there by the time the guards are along the border.
Right.
Now, we have had National Guard along the border and troops along the border before. Nothing new. The extent of 15,000, that's just, I can't imagine that's going to happen. The military, by the way, doesn't like it. The Pentagon shrugs its shoulders on it. And it's just, you know, it's an exaggeration issued by President Trump. Now, somebody says, well, we don't need any at the border. Well, I don't think that's good either. But obviously 15,000 people, that's more than that's Afghanistan levels.
Yeah, but, you know, 15,000 well, heavily armed people with a president saying if someone throws a rock at you, treat it as if they're shooting a rifle at you. That, yeah, to me, you're setting up a powder keg.
Sure.
I'm someone who's going to say we defend our borders. Yes, you have to have you have to have integrity in your borders. You have to protect it. Mm-hmm. And this ridiculous nonsense that, you know, the Democrats just want open borders and everyone, that's just ludicrous. Mm-hmm. But you also don't treat people this way, and you don't treat them in this inhumane fashion.
Look, if they were going to storm, you know, 1,000 people at one time trying to storm the portal, which they can't, if they did, and they, you know, were going to do some type of violence or something, somebody wanted to talk in terms of what normally happens in these situations of tear gas or something, that's one thing. Obviously, to say that, you know, that everything's armed, et cetera, that's not good.
No, I'm with you. Did you see the video that Trump retweeted today?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, look, connect all the dots. Just as the Democratic side has successfully brought in pre-existing conditions in health care, it really has. You've got to give them credit. He is looking at numbers and polling, and you connect all the dots. Homeland Security talked about catch and release, the caravan, troops to the border, the ad release today, all of it building a scenario trying to get opponents in tight congressional races to begin to comment, and then you put him into a corner about a guy and do they support these deputies or they don't. And, you know, nobody wanted those deputies shot, but they're trying to build a scenario here.
Right.
And they've read polling numbers. I mean, you can see the dots. They've been building for the last 5 or 6 days. Republicans lost on the health care issue, so this is what they're trying to resurrect. So it's going to be up to the Democratic side is whether they want to play into this or not.
Yeah, look, it is what it is. And everyone, it's very apparent, but you're right. They've read the numbers, and you know they know that people generally at the bottom of Maslow's hierarchy is where most people stay, that fear and security stuff. And this we'll see how it plays out on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
We will see how the strategy works out. But, Bob, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Good
Thank
stuff.
Thank you.
As always, our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Radio of, for, and by We the Working People. The Rick Smith Show.